Last week, during one of my quiet times with the Lord, I was reminded of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, most particularly patience. And if you've been in this church for very long and heard me try to list the fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, I usually forget to include patience and kindness, and there is a very good reason for that. And I'm not proud of it. But finding it very difficult in life to always be patient. And not that it's impossible, but that you have to be disciplined in that. And that really challenged me last week. And I thought Sunday evening last week I spoke about David, the shepherd boy, fighting against the giant. And one of the thoughts in there was that when the giant began to move towards David, the little shepherd boy, he ran toward the giant. He did not wait. He didn't hem-haw around. He didn't dance around the giant. He ran straight at the giant. And it began to challenge me. Maybe I need to run towards this so-called giant that I have not faced very well in life. And so I thought I'm going to preach a sermon on patience to make me study it and to think on it and to live it before I can preach it. And so this past week, and I turned myself completely over to you asking Laura any questions about whether I have practiced patience this week. In fact, yesterday we drove to Rosenberg to visit with our daughter, and I was very patient with the traffic. I really was. The further I got away from my early morning Bible reading and spent the day and then was traveling back, it got a little less so much, but I was very patient with the traffic. But it is and I noted it in my notes, it's a chronic impatience. It seems to continue to show up and appear, and it should not be so. And so I've challenged myself this week, and I hope that what we here this morning will not only challenge me and help me to walk the way I ought to, but also to help you. Lord has a marvelous way of getting us where He needs us to be, and it's usually at our weakest moments and when we're the most humbled before Him that He gets our attention. And I feel that I have been put in that place this week, and I'm grateful for that. So I hope that this is a help to you this week. We're going to start with just a few verses out of James. And then we will expand on that, and we'll talk about that a little as we get into it. Stand with me right now as we read out of the little epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. To begin with, James writes, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance," or patience. "And let endurance," or patience, "have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, that you may find yourself mature." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for being a holy God who reaches down into our everyday lives and prods us from time to time as we need it. I thank you, Father, that you helped me to be alert to that last week and through this week. And I pray this morning you help me to articulate what you have shown me. And Lord God, that it may be a blessing not only to myself, but to this congregation and those who find themselves also struggling with patience regarding their families or neighbors or enemies. Lord God, just speak into our lives today. Thank you so much that it's your desire to see us to grow into your image. And you don't want to just leave us out here floundering. You equip us to do that. And I thank you for what you're going to do this morning and through this week as we incline our heart to you in this passage. I pray your Holy Spirit to move us to where you want us to be. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As I mentioned, and you may have gotten that when I spoke, we're going to start with verses 2 through 4. And over this last week, it's been interesting to me to discover that all of chapter 1 is really an address about patience. All of chapter 1 can help us to be patient with the Lord. Each one of these disciplines found in that chapter can lead us there, and I want to lead us to that. And if you know me, that would probably take about 3 months if I did it expositorily. This morning we'll just highlight some of those things, and I'll let you do homework and look through that in the days to come. But verse 2 just has to be one of the toughest exhortations for me as a believer. I don't know for other believers in this place, where he says, "Count it joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials." Be joyful in trials. I want us to note something here. There was never a trial that Jesus experienced whereby he didn't have a security in the reality that his Father had a purpose in what he was going through. Now think on that for just a moment. If that's true for the Lord Jesus Christ, it has to be true for all of us as his children. That there never is an instance in which we go through a difficult experience that God does not have a plan and a purpose for that in encouraging and growing us in some way. God is always about building his people up. And a lot of times, because we're hard-hearted and stiff-necked, we need him to be a little tough on us once in a while. Not always, but once in a while. And trials are the way to do that, to get our attention, to focus on, you know what, I'm not able to handle this. But if I lean on the Lord, I'll discover he is more than able to handle this for me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, you might say, well, Jesus was God in flesh. Of course he handled temptation. But he was, through the testimony of Scripture, he submitted himself to the Father. He yielded himself, subjected himself to being one who followed the leadership of his Father in what he said and what he did and where he went. He learned, the Scripture says he learned obedience. He walked with the Father. When he was patient in the wilderness, after 40 days of no food, no drink, fasting before the Lord, and then the devil came and he was hungry, and the devil said, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and eat them. Satisfy your hunger. And Jesus responded by speaking the Word of God. The Word of God is my food. Obeying him is what will sustain me. And each temptation the devil brought, Jesus was able to respond with the truth of Scripture. And he resisted the temptations. Jesus never gave in to temptations. Some of you might need to hear that. Jesus was tempted. It's not sin to be tempted. It is sin to give in to temptation. Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in those times when he was criticized and encountered by religious leaders. Every time he went into the temple setting or a synagogue, and there they were hanging around and criticizing him. And Jesus could have responded. He had power from heaven that he could have called upon to strike them dead. But Jesus was patient with those men. Jesus was patient with his own disciples. One of the statements he makes is, how long do I have to be with you guys till you finally get it? Jesus was patient with those men who were trying to figure out what he was all about. He wasn't like the other rabbis. What was different about him? Jesus was patient with them. Think about how Jesus exhibited patience at the cross. While he was dying for our sin, and he extended forgiveness to those who were putting him on the cross, he gave mercy to the repentant thief who hung next to him on a cross. He made provision for his mother. Even while he was going through the agony, he made sure that his mother had someone to take care of him after he had died. And then he finished the work of atonement. He went all the way to death. He was patient until the allotted time for the sacrifice was finished. And then he responded in obedience to the Father, "Now I commit my spirit to you. It is over." And he gave up. He was patient through all of that. Jesus exhibited a great patience. You might say, well, I'm just a man. Yes, you're just a human. I like the way James addresses this issue. If you go all the way to the end of James, you find him talking about a man named Elijah. And he talked about how Elijah called upon the Lord. And when he called upon the Lord, he made it stop raining for a period of time. And then he prayed to the Lord again, and the Lord made it rain again. And he said, Elijah was a man just like you and me. You know, James was writing to people just like you and me. About people like you and me. Patience is not impossible. God would not require it of us, nor would He equip us with it by the Holy Spirit if it were impossible for us to be able to exercise it. So why don't we exercise it? We are to, in fact, exercise patience as every trial comes. Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was coming at the end of the atonement. That's what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. We should follow His pattern. Jesus, yes, was God in flesh, but He also yielded Himself to the obedience of the Father. He demonstrated patience, and that was His faith, was trusting the Father. And we are to exhibit our faith by exercising patience as well. A couple of truths off the bat. Everyone has trials, especially followers of Jesus. Note here, he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You're going to have trials. Let me include this. If you don't have trials, you're probably not walking with the Lord. Because if you're walking with the Lord, you're going to encounter some trouble along the way. Jesus told his disciples, I've had trouble in this world. They've hated me. They're going to hate you, and you're going to have trouble. It's a reality. And as the culture continues to disintegrate and to decay and to be corrupt, true believers will experience persecution and difficulty in this world. The scripture tells us, if you're godly, you will be persecuted. It is a fact to suffer for Christ. We talked about this last week. It's an honor and a privilege. We ought to count it that way. But know this, everyone, especially believers, will go through trials because it's the Lord's way of getting us where He needs us to be. And we'll look at that a little bit more in just a moment. Secondly, you need to note here, when you encounter trials, not if you encounter trials. Look what he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. It's going to come, just like storms come. You don't know when, and the weather guy may tell you it's coming at a certain time, and he might be pretty close, but it's coming. Storms will come from time to time. Trials will come, and you need to be ready for those and count on them. Trials are the experiences that are designed to usher joy into the life of a believer. You might say, well, how is that so? Well, first thing to note is that joy is not happiness. Happiness is always dependent upon your circumstances. When things are going well, you're going to be happy. But when things are not well for a believer, there is still the capacity to exercise joy. Joy is based upon truth. Joy is based upon the security and the assurance that the Holy Spirit who's been planted in the life of the believer gives to that believer, even though the storm may be going on around them. I love that passage of Scripture that tells us that a storm happened on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was down in the hull sleeping while a storm was going on and the disciples were panicking. They finally went to Jesus and woke Him up and said, Lord, how can you be sleeping while this is happening? And He said, oh, you of little faith, what are you so worried about? Jesus could rest through a storm because He had no fear. He had joy. He knew that He had security in the hands of the Father. Whether He lived or died, He was going to be with the Lord. We find ourselves freaking out, as the vernacular is, when things happen to us and the Lord has given us joy as a fruit of the Spirit. When we became believers, He planted His Holy Spirit in us. And yes, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now I need to preach on faithfulness next time. The Holy Spirit brings these gifts to us to be exhibited in our lives. It's just a matter of submitting to that Holy Spirit and allowing that to come out of us. We talked about that last week, bearing that fruit out that's already been produced by the Holy Spirit. A trial is a part of ways of bringing our faith to the surface so that it can be tested and made stronger and better. And that's what he says here in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith, and that's what trials are, is testing that faith to produce endurance or patience, to help you to be steadfast in your faith and your walk with the Lord. And he goes on to say, let this trial have its perfect work in you. Let it accomplish all that it's supposed to accomplish. We often want to stop it short. Oh, if I could just get this thing over with and not worry with it anymore. How often do we sell ourselves short and sell short the work of the Lord in our lives through a trial? He's trying to work us to perfection, and we're trying to get out of it as quick as we can. Count it all joy when the Lord brings you a trial, that you may be able to exercise a patience and grow that patience so that you become mature, growing into the image of Christ. This is the purpose of those trials. I like how it says, so that you lack nothing, the old version says that you want nothing, that you no longer have any want. I like it when I have all my needs met and I don't want for anything. I'm not looking for something that I absolutely need in my life because it's already been there. It's already been provided for me. We get to the place through trials where we can be content with what the Lord has done in our lives rather than looking for more. Contentment in Christ is a good thing. Satisfaction with Him is a good thing. It brings us to a place of gratefulness. We know this trial's making us into the image the Lord wants us to be in. But most of the time, we're wondering, is this a test or is it a temptation? And there are times when it's difficult to tell. But the next part of this passage is important for us because he goes on and says, if any of you lacks wisdom, then ask of God. If you're not sure whether it's a test, a temptation, is this of God, is this of the devil, is this just my own wrestlings, pray. Talk to the Lord. Allow Him to speak into your life. If you say, well, I'm not getting anything, get your head in Scripture. Pray through Scripture. Go to the Psalms. The psalmist is always praying much the same thing we're praying most of the time. Find a psalm. Pray through the psalm. Let the Lord speak to you through that. Seek the Lord God for heavenly wisdom. There's a difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, and the Scripture tells us that. In fact, in this book of James, you find that very definition. If you will seek Him, He'll reveal it to you. There's a heavenly wisdom that brings security and peace, and it helps us to walk in a manner that's honorable before the Lord. But we need to pray to receive that. The Lord's waiting for His children to call upon Him as if they need something. Listen, if my children need something and they don't ask of me, shame on those children. The same is true in the economy of God as the Father. He's waiting for His children to ask of Him. He has resources that are abundant. They're out of this world. All we have to do is call upon Him. He'll provide them for us if we ask. So pray. My mother, when I was a young boy, we were not a believing household, but she did teach me a serenity prayer. And it is not biblical in the sense that it is in the Bible, but it is biblical in principle. Lord, grant me, this is serenity. Grant me the serenity to accept the things that I can't change. That's contentment. That's learning how to adjust to the circumstances of life. Lord, grant me a serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Also, the courage to change the things I can. When there are things that are before me and the Lord is prompting me to do them, don't be hesitant. Step forward and do those. If you can make a difference in this and the Lord's prompted you to that, go to it. And the last part of that prayer is, and Lord, the wisdom to know the difference between what I can't change and what I can change. Lord God's calling on His people to pray. And whether this particular serenity prayer is not in Scripture, it is scriptural. God wants us to be content in those things that are happening around us that are for our good.
And he also wants us to be bold and to step out in courage to do those things we ought to be doing. But we have to seek him for the wisdom to know the difference between the two. And so pray. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give it to you generously. Don't doubt that he'll answer. Expect that you'll receive something. If you don't expect to receive it, you won't receive it. Trust him. And then also be humble before the Lord. I think verses 9 through 11, we're not going to go through all of that, but he speaks about a brother of humble circumstances to glory in his high position and the rich man glory in his humiliation, because both of them together are like flowers. They'll pass away. Your status in life does not determine whether you will have trials or not. Wealthy people have trials as much as poor people have trials. There are trials for all. The wealthy have a different set of circumstances, and trials are found in those, while the impoverished, have a different set of circumstances, and they find trials there. We all need to humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge he's not partial to one or the other. He desires to bless all that are his children. Allow him to do that, but we have to humble ourselves before him and allow him to do that work in our life. He's the giver of all things of those who belong to him. And if we forget that, then we are self-sufficient, and in self-sufficiency, we disengage ourselves from the Lord, and what a sad thing that is. Don't disqualify yourself because you haven't humbled yourself before the Lord. Verse 12 is encouraging. This is a passage I used to hear on the radio several times. I worked in Port Lavaca, and I would drive back and forth to Port Lavaca and listen to KCTA out of Corpus Christi, and there was a particular verse that would come over all the time. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, I learned that over that year and a half, 18 months of driving back and forth, but it took a longer time for me to learn it and to live it. God is rewarding those who will endure temptation. Now, this is difference between test and temptation. When temptation comes, it is the devil who desires to knock you down and mess you up. When trials come, it's the Lord testing you. Some trials are tests from the Lord. That's why we need to pray. See whether this is from God or from the devil. Ask for wisdom from the Lord. Don't just automatically jump on the bandwagon. I've seen this a lot. Oh, the devil's really doing it to me today. Man, don't give the devil credit where the Lord might be trying to get your attention. There just might be some times when you just need to get your eyes open. It ain't necessarily the devil messing with you. It's just that you've been living like the devil and the Lord's trying to get a hold of you. But there's a difference between it. And when a man is tested and he endures and does not give in to that, the Lord's pleased with that. And he promises a crown of life. Now, we want to put, what is this crown? What's it all about? I'm not so sure that it is a physical crown. What I do know is that that word crown in this instance in the Greek is not the word crown for a king. It is the word crown for an athlete who wins a wreath at the end of the race, who endures the race and finishes well and receives his reward. Now, it does not mean that if you endure every temptation, that's how God's pleased with you. What it does mean is, as his child, as you're walking in obedience, and you endure that temptation and put it off, he is honored with your obedience to him, and there is a reward waiting. The crown of life is an indicator of eternal life. It is your salvation. That's all it's talking about. When you endure temptation, you don't give in to temptation. You are rewarded with eternal life. What it's actually saying is, because you have eternal life, you're a genuine believer, you are putting off temptation, and you are being patient to wait for the reward the Father has for you in eternity. And so, here we have this wonderful idea of a reward that is waiting. It's not because it's earned by my patience. Rather, this patience is the fruit of the eternal life that's already in me as a believer. And then verses 13 through 18, and this is lengthy as well. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God can't be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But sometimes each one's tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Think about that for a second. God's not going to tempt you. So don't blame God. Sometimes you're tempted because you're foolish. Sometimes I'm tempted because I've let myself be in the wrong place, or I've thought the wrong thoughts, or I'm active in something I shouldn't be active in. Sometimes temptation comes because I've been in the wrong. And I can't blame God for that. I love how it goes on and says, God does not tempt anyone. Listen, verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Again, James loves these people he's writing to. They are believers. Beloved brethren, listen to this. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. There's no variation or shifting shadow in him. God gives us good stuff. He desires for us to grow in our faith. He wishes the best for his children. He works for your good. He's not looking to trip you up. Temptation's not God's game. Temptation is our own game, and it's the devil's game. But it is not the Lord God's game. His game is to grow us in our faith. And James wants his readers to understand that. What does this have to do with my patience? Well, when trouble comes, I can be content and know God is working for my good. This temptation that's coming against me is either an attack from the devil or because I've been foolish in some area of my life. Lord God, help me. Depend on him. When you depend on him, you'll tend to be more patient than when you're trying to depend on yourself. I've learned this in golf. When I hit a bad shot and the next ball when I go to my next shot, if I don't blow off that last shot and I try and do a little bit harder, I'm going to swing too hard and mess that thing up. When I relax and trust the swing, the ball goes where I need it to go. Listen, trust the Lord. He's your swing. He will never fail. My swing never fails, but I fail my swing. The Lord will never fail you. You trust him. He wishes the best for you, and he's working to grow you. Don't blame him. And verse 19 is excellent. This you know, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. My wife has heard me many times when those other dumb drivers around me do the wrong thing, to speak spitefully of them in anger. And it never does accomplish anything good. In fact, it really makes me look the fool in front of my wife, and then maybe a person's driving by and I'm calling them whatever they are. My mouth is... It doesn't accomplish the goodness of God. We do well to not be angry. Slow to speak. First off, our mouths mess us up. And you know what comes out of the mouth? What's in our hearts. So we really need to work on the heart. And eventually what comes out of the mouth will be what's coming out of the heart, and that'll be better if we trust the Lord to make us who we need to be. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. You're going to get angry once in a while, but make everything point towards the Lord before you get to that point. You know, when Jesus was angry enough to go into the temple and throw the money changers out of the temple, he had come in and he had seen that situation. He finally, the only thing left to do, I've spoken parables and I've preached truth, now it's just toss them out. I mean, it was a last resort. Because Jesus was not given to violence. He was not in forcing people to his way. But that was the only way he was going to get their attention. You know what? It's very hard for you and I to get to that place of righteous anger. We need to be very, very careful that we're slow to anger. Rather trusting in the Lord. The word of Scripture tells us, do not retaliate, do not take revenge. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. Jesus never retaliated. Only in that one instance do we see him being anything close to violent in throwing out the money changers. May that be said of us. May anger be subdued. May we be slow to that place of anger. Let patience have its perfect work in you. Don't give in to anger, because anger does not reveal anything about God in our lives. It reveals everything about our wickedness and our weakness. So put those things aside. Verse 22, prove yourselves doers of the word. In humility, receive the word. That tells me to be involved in allowing Scripture to be a part of who you are. Read it again and again. I'm reading the Scripture through again this year, the whole Bible again, and I keep finding nuggets of truth that I've missed over the last 15 years. I'm finding again. The Lord has incredible power and strength to reveal to us in His Word. And once it gets implanted in our heart, like I said, the words that come out of us will be different than what they have been. Our responses, our thought life will be different when we've got the Word of the Lord inside of our hearts. It's going to be different. And we'll certainly be more patient as we're learning the truths of God's Word and allowing them to be a part of who we are. We'll certainly start to be patient with those that just don't get it. Those that are slow to get to the place where we are. If I'm humbling myself before the Lord, I'll recognize I have a long way to go too. I have no right to be angry at them because I'm still not where I need to be. Because the Word has revealed that truth to me. And be doer of that Word, not just a hearer of it. It is easy to come into church and to hear a sermon or to hear a message or to find a phrase in a song and go out of here and say, that's what I'm going to hold on to this week. And you hold on to that, and then the next week, what do you do with it? Is it gone? Is it still there? Be a doer of it. He says, to hear the word and to not do it is like a man who looks in the mirror and sees his face and walks away and forgets it. Well, I'm awful glad I can forget what I look like sometimes. But the idea is that hearing the Word of God and then just walking away from it and not putting it into practice is like forgetting what you look like. It's silliness and it's futile. Because you know what? You're going to walk by another mirror and you're going to look at yourself again. Or you're going to see a puddle of water and you're going to see yourself in that reflection. Or in some chrome on a car and you're going to see your reflection. But boy, the Word of God, if we can just have that there. Have it implanted. And then practice it. It becomes more real. We'll certainly be more patient if we're exercising that and doing the Word of God. Humbly receive that Word. And don't deceive yourselves. Verse 26 and 27 talk about if anybody thinks himself to be religious, but he doesn't bridle his tongue, and we've addressed the tongue, you're deceiving your own heart. That kind of man's religion's worthless. What is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God the Father is to visit orphans and widows, the weak and the fatherless in their distress, and keep yourself unstained by the world. Patience is not just something we exercise. It is something that transfers to our mouths and transfers to our deeds. It helps us to bridle what we're saying. Helps us to rein in sometimes when what we're about to say doesn't need to be said, or maybe needs to be said in a different way, and we need to think on it before we say it. And then our deeds. Do good deeds. Helps us exercise patience when we look into a world that's needy and we start thinking about, you know, I could do something to help this person rather than to condescendingly speak down to them or to send them on their way. The Lord has a lot of ways of teaching us patience through trials, opportunities for ministry. How many of those have we turned away? God wants to grow us through trials. Patience is a fruit of that Spirit, as I mentioned before. Allow the Spirit of God to have His way in your life. And if there's anybody sitting here and you're wondering, what in the world is this fruit of the Spirit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is a gift that God gives to those who come to a place where they admit that they're sinners before God. That's a hard thing to do because you have to swallow your pride and you have to admit, I'm not good. And the fact is, the Bible says none of us are good. We've all sinned. This preacher sinned. Billy Graham has sinned. The Pope has sinned. Your sweet grandma has sinned. We have all sinned. Every one of us is messed up. And that's why God sent Jesus into this world, to die on a cross, to pay the price for our sin, because there was nothing we could do about that sin. No matter how much good we tried to do, it's always going to be messed up because of the sin we have in our life. But God sent Jesus to take care of that problem. And he was satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice so much, so he raised him back to life. So Jesus is not dead anymore. He's alive. He's ascended into heaven. And when he went there, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, one just like me, to come and live inside each believer. When that Holy Spirit comes in, it brings the very presence of Jesus, his character. So when you think about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, you're thinking about Jesus. He has come to reside within you, and he wants the world to see him through you. But you can't do that unless you have him in you. And there may be someone in this place this morning, you've never yielded to Jesus, but this morning the Lord's stirring you, that you might surrender to him so he can live his life through you. Now, sometimes when we see a baptism, it reminds us that this person has come to a place where they've died to themselves. Going down in the water is a picture of dying, going into the grave. And when they came out a new person, came out one renewed and born in Jesus. And Carly's got a road ahead of her. She's got a long life ahead of her. But she took the step for it to start. The Lord called her, she responded, and now she's begun. We praise the Lord for that. Maybe there's somebody else that needs that to happen. Let's take time to respond to the Lord this morning. Maybe you need to work on patience. Maybe something you heard out of this passage in this first chapter of this letter has spoken into your heart. Let's take time to respond this morning. Don't leave here without doing business with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time, we thank you for being a God who loves us and cares enough for us that you challenge us, even through trials, Father, so we might chip off the old dross and the junk that's in our lives and find ourselves growing closer and closer into your image. Thank you, Father, that you have equipped us. You've worked for our good. Lord God, you've put your spirit inside of us so that we can manage the difficulties of life. Just help us to be found content and satisfied with you, sitting back and waiting when you want us to, and working when you want us to. Thank you, Father, that you're available to pray to, so that when those decisions aren't real clear, you can help us. Lord God, you are so good. Now I pray that you move in our midst and get us where you want us to be before we leave this place this morning. It's to your glory, your honor, that we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.